Who's our reader now?
Can do. Oh, which one comment? I was thinking about the Brother Bowl thing, which I thought, well, two thoughts on it. I'm getting back to you here.
Sure.
First was the fact that the... so, like, I noticed a progression between the Grand Mistress, Julianne, and then the other story of the American Indian healer. And then each one kept talking about what, you know, it was... if the people didn't do something different, they didn't do the things they were advised, they didn't heal. And so it's one thing to hear about it over there as academic advice, but in this story, Brother Bull, it puts you right into it. It was more personal seeing each, him and then the girl, you know, do the thing that was different, do the thing that changed them. And I think also realize that I too much, when people are like really, really, seem, like to me, they seem like they're really struggling, I think I tend to try to help them through it. And in this story, I realized that that's...
You think about talking about these ideas will change anything.
Huh?
You think that talking about these ideas will change something.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying that I need to let people do it more on their own and not try to do things for them. That was just something I realized.
Gotta let them pull the clothes right off your body.
As it was.
So to speak.
Yeah.
So in a kind, we are the little child, maybe. We have to stand up.
That made the choice to stand up.
Yeah.
So that actually reading that part gave me better understanding of Roger's reluctance to tell us, well, what do you see? What do you think it is?
No.
Roger says, no, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's, I got that too. The only question I have sometimes is, like, I'll do something and we talk about it, we'll come back and you say, oh, you're just deceiving yourself. You're just kidding yourself. And I'm not sure how to know the difference yet. I mean, maybe that just develops with time. But I can't tell.
Aren't deceiving yourself by what you did. You're deceiving yourself by what you think that is.
Okay, right.
You're just talking more about it.
Okay, yep. Okay.
Did the young child think she was doing it, or she thought Brother Bull's God?
Your own story isn't written from that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You never find out.
So doing for others can be tricky.
You can't do for others.
No, right. No, you can't. That's what I wanted to say, but I thought it was like
you've actually got to hold yourself back even when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise they don't gain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you get in their way.
Yeah.
Or you might even be laying something on them.
Right.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, we ready to move on?
All right.
Who will be our reader now?
I mean, I can read a bit more, but I'll welcome another person to take the reins at a certain point.
I can also read.
I think we'll let you rest.
Okay.
But the legends lived on, right? The legend?
What's that?
It doesn't matter.
The last two are legends.
Really? Why do you say that?
Because that's her title.
I see. Okay. Okay.
You are an episode in eternity. Pay Emergent Life 445 Overture.
You are an episode in eternity.
You are an episode in eternity. Overture. 28. It is preposterous that ethical and spiritual have been passed faithfully from generation to generation without any real thought or consideration given as to this truth and genuine effectiveness, and certainly without any instructions as to how you may actually manifest these principles in your life today. With the codes and creeds and teachings you are living and striving with today, it is simply not possible for you to be successful and happy living by these decrees and principles and standards. And since no code or creed or Bible could cover every possible situation and contingency, and because judging according to right and wrong merely says that to do right, you must do right, there isn't any instruction or reliable guidance on how to manifest these standards of external behavior, but offers no real direct assistance in internal or on abiding living, which is where you genuinely and happily live a continuous struggle and suffer or grieve. It is the continuous struggle between right and wrong that maintains the tight noose of struggling, suffering, and uncertainty in your life today. Uncertainty in your life today. Page 446, an episode in eternity. Before closing, we must repeat our words. We've added this border to show how important these words and understandings are. 1. Passage 1. Your nighttime dreams portray a continuous eternal story that has been going on for centuries. But you only open and experience an episode or two each night, such that your dreams seem to be separate and different, yet they're actually part of one continuing story of your eternal abiding self and life. In the same way, each present, past, and future life is not a separate and different life of many lives. Each life is one episode or moment of a single abiding self and life. This abiding story is a life you have been living for centuries without knowing it. Isn't it about time you became aware of your continuing abiding self and life and the data information found in your eternal soul, your abiding DNA, not in your loner body self, mortal loner DNA? Doesn't knowing that you are living an eternal abiding self in life create an entirely new image of death? This continuing is more than resurrection. It involves continued awareness of the body self in life. And this awareness can be accessed through direct perception of imagination as the Emergent Life Center. At the Emergent Life Center, we can take you on this imagination journey to experience your eternal abiding self in life, should you choose that. Imagination is a process Dr. Baker brought back from the Orient years ago. But before discussing imagination, it is necessary to declare that you are an episode in eternity. Passage 2. Those of you who have come this far on this difficult, sometimes tedious journey of Dr. Baker and Brother Bowl, of Marie and the Grand Mistress, of Julian and Akina, and of Rashid and Arif, have revealed yourself as abidings. But unfortunately, like most abiding beings, you are too focused on your loner body self and life, and probably not aware of your abiding self and life, and the promises you made before coming alive in this life. It is easy to be a human being filled with problems and afflictions, controlled by undesirable attitudes and emotions, with little meaning or purpose to your elf and life.
I believe in my elf.
That.
My little elf.
That's for the small people in the room.
Yeah. And in all of this, it probably seems next to impossible to be content. But must you be discontent? Is all this futility and discontentment of yourself and life real or just an illusion? It certainly seems real enough, doesn't it? or maybe it's just a habit you've fallen into. It is easy to be a human being filled with problems and afflictions, controlled by undesirable attitudes and emotions, with little meaning and purpose to your life. And in all of this, it seems next to impossible to be content. Is this futility and discontentment of life real or just an illusion and a habit we've fallen into? The events that make life
such... Number five.
Sorry, thank you. Number five, the events that make life such a trial are all around you, and you probably believe you have almost no control over those conditions and situations. In the face of this, do you believe it is even possible to be content and remain content? Passage six, every day you are caught up doing or saying or feeling things you wouldn't ordinarily do, and you don't really like yourself for getting involved in these ways, yet you constantly get caught up in the world around you. And before you know it, you aren't really you anymore. You are somebody else living your life. Isn't that right? Passage 7. Oh, you certainly look like you. And you feel like you. You remember. Like the you remember, but it isn't you. At least not the you you memory and want to be. It seems...
So is that supposed to be two yous?
What?
At least not the you remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. It seems that someone different has taken over yourself in life, and you are caught in the melee, and you are rightfully angry about that. So what can be done about all of this? Shall I read in the side comments?
Okay.
Memory is described as remembrance and storage of whole events, not to be confused with memories which store events and individual pieces to be recalled and rearranged as desired. Memories are related to languaging, while memory is related to direct perception.
And that's really important to remember.
It's as though your life is a... Oh, sorry, passage 8. It's as though your life is a dream, and you're watching everything happening to you and all around you, and there is nowhere to hide or run to. And you can't call time out. Passage 9. It seems there are a few alternatives, and an inner world is certainly not desirable as an eternal choice, is it? Yet the whole of life seems to be focused on driving you into an inner world, and that doesn't really seem right or desirable, does it? Passage 10. It is possible... Is it possible to be content in a world or life that is falling apart around you? If so, how? Especially if the world falling apart all around you is dragging you with it. Can you stand up contentedly against such a world? And if you remain content, do you really oppose the world?
Suppose.
Sorry, guys, I'm getting a little tired here. Do you really suppose the world will change its bitter, futile actions to satisfy you and remain content with you? And then you die. Passage 11. We cut down a tree the other day. It was 60 feet tall and towered above the constant struggle for life going on in the world below it. But I don't think being cut down is what the tree had in mind for itself that day. But it is done now and cut into little pieces. If that's life, what is occurring?
Mm-hmm. Ask yourselves. Let's say the tree is life. What is it telling you now?
Nothing. It's cut up.
And if you took all the parts of the tree, and that is life, then all the little pieces are different lifetimes.
Mm. Oh.
Just like in the track.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Passage 12. Must you give up the pleasures of this life to avoid the displeasures? Must you live a vague inner spiritual self in life as a way to get to be free of the problems and afflictions of life? 13. You will never succeed in changing much of the world around you, and you'll never be happy and fulfilled living in your own world or reality, or isolated and alone in an inner world, for nothing can or should be accomplished only within you. Therefore, have you ever considered changing the way you live in the world around you? 14. As a mindful being, your life has a great deal to do with your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, no matter where or how you focus or project your mind, and has little or nothing to do with living righteously within or living in a secret place, for they will not satisfy or fulfill you for long. 15. Are you willing to be guided by the awareness of an eternal abiding self and life outside of you? 16. Your eternal abiding self does not come to human experience. That is for you. Are you willing to live in communion with your eternal abiding self in a life that is guided and empowered by awareness and realization of your eternal abiding self? And a tremendously expanded life, context, and awareness of yourself and life. 17. Whether you are righteous and correct, or wicked and mistaken, or even immoral and evil, this is not a factor in determining the self and life you will live and thrive in, or struggle and conflict with. What really counts is the communion you live with your eternal abiding being or not, which is what a spiritual search for God or Godness, which is not a spiritual search for God or Godness, it is living with and thriving in the fullness of yourself. In your life today, in communion with who you are and who you truthfully desire to become, the question arises, are you willing to live today?
Sorry. Who you want to become.
Sorry, I have a technical issue here. Are you willing to live today who you want to become, and in communion with who you want to become and who you already are as an abiding being? The question arises, are you willing to live who you already are?
Yeah, on that one, passage 18, it's the question in your life today, that's living in my loner body, I am asking who I am and who I desire to become. Is that not correct? And loner body. And last sentence of this passage says, maybe the real question is, are you willing to live who you already are? That's the distinction there. That as a loner being, not communion, I'm always wondering who I am and who do I want to become. Is that correct?
Are you willing to live who you want to become?
I'm afraid of that set of words.
See?
Why?
Because that I see that as setting an objective that I might get all fouled up on.
Wait a minute. If you're putting it out there as a goal, that's a problem. But are you willing to live who you want to become, and you live that now and you are it? That's not setting it out there as a goal.
What I'm saying is I'm concerned about my own frailties. Using that language, I seem to get slipped quite easily into something to become.
The answer out is here. No.
What was that?
The answer is no.
To what?
The rest of it's crap.
Oh, that he wants to live who you already are?
Oh, I see.
He doesn't even want to live who he wants to be.
Shakespeare, methinks he does protest too much.
Okay. Alrighty.
It's very simple.
Just live. It really is. It really is, yeah.
Who you desire to be, and you are it. If you're resisting that, then you're going to live your loner body.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's clear now.
Okay.
19. Somewhere available to your imaginative mind, there truthfully is an eternal abiding self that is you, which you have not discovered in this lifetime, and which has not been revealed or spoken of by any science or religion, or by any philosophers or healers. Yet you unknowingly live that abiding self in life every day through every belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action, and every desire and experience, but you live your abiding self unknowingly by default. We know that life with an eternal self, I'm sorry, 20, we know that life with an eternal self exists because we live there and experience there, and we are trying to show you the way to your eternal self and liveliness as well, should you choose that. However, be aware that in this search for your eternal self and liveliness, we will not travel far from where you are right now. And though such a self in life is sometimes referred to as cosmic consciousness or an inner kingdom, it is neither for your eternal world. It is neither, for your eternal world is all around you, and you are living this self in life today. So obviously, no cosmic consciousness is required. In fact, as we proceed, you will discover that no higher or greater consciousness is required either. Your eternal self and liveliness, 21, your eternal self and liveliness is not a separate divine world or an inner spiritual self and life. It is completely physical and real and all around you, but it is a different physical than you are accustomed to realizing and relating to and normally involving yourself with through your five senses. Your eternal liveliness, your eternal self and liveliness must be realized directly and lived awarefully.
Anybody else want to take the reins for a bit? I'd like to pass it on.
Sure.
Try not. Do or do not.
Thank you.
Yay.
I might stop. Okay. Let's see.
Okay. 22. At some brief moments in your life in the past, you have probably sensed or experienced this eternal world or the nature of this world directly, then fallen away to your loner self and life as usual. 23. Your imaginative eternal self and liveliness is a vast, expansive human experience of profound importance, which will make an eternal impact on yourself and life from the moment you truly begin. For this eternal is not a
diversion
from your present happenings and situations. It includes every aspect of yourself and life today, and all that is important to you, and reveals the meaning and purpose of everything you are doing, even the things you are struggling with and against.
Keep going.
Okay. 24. Eternal is not a just and kind world as opposed to a corrupt and greedy one. It is an expansive life of awareness and realization that reaches beyond problems and conflicts such that afflictions are non-issues. 25. This unseen self and world is more real and lasting than the one you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell the emotion and emotion about, and it is far more comforting and satisfying. This is not a separate self and life for you to create and live in. It is a renewal and tremendous expansion of the world you are already living, unknowingly so. Are you willing to bring this renewed awareness and world actively into yourself and life today? Are you quite satisfied with the matters and conditions you're living now? No, you are now living and constantly struggling with and against. And are you willing to live your present self and life eternally? Do you see any chance of living yourself in life today without being controlled and limited by the world around you? 26. Discovering and living your imaginative, eternal, abiding self and liveliness will not take you out of this world or away from your present activities. It will enlarge and enhance yourself and your activities with eternal awareness and realizations. You can enjoy with real meaning and purpose the things that offer you a full and enriching self and life as you truly desire.
Truthfully
desire. Thank you. 27. The eternal world and life that will be reached is not mystical or metaphysical. It is a world of illuminated form and substance created by the body and life you live today in communion with your eternal self and liveliness, which creates a self and life of realized awareness. 28. The world of your dreams and images is truly illuminated, for in the darkness of your mind you see things clearly and fully. You do not rely on reflected light as you do in your present world. 29. Anyone can become part of this eternal illuminated dark world. No seeing is required.
Seeking.
Hold on, I gotta get better light. Speaking of the light. Or in fact, you're already part of this enlivening world. Only a willingness to understand is required. Of course, if your old distorted beliefs about yourself and life and enlightenment are too precious to give up, an enlivened eternal abiding self is not for you at this time. And while no cleansing, or healing of your mind and body is required, releasing your tight grip on old distorted beliefs and teachings about life and death is certainly recommended, lest you struggle unnecessarily and create unresolvable afflictions of mind and body, or of self and life. 30. There is no pathway to an eternal illuminated self and liveliness, for you are already standing in the middle of that illumination, unmindful of what surrounds you and completely envelops you. 31. Nothing can equal the passionate contentment of an eternal abiding self and liveliness lived in illumination, and the exciting adventure of it all is as well. However, be aware that this passion transcends emotions, such that your peak emotional experiences today are unsatisfying shells compared to a life lived in eternal awareness and realization, illuminated as you truthfully desire. 32. You cannot continue or thrive on yesterday's emotional high, regardless of how exciting and soul awakening it may have been at the time, or is believed to be today. It will not sustain you. It will excite you and entice you and leave you. And that's no way to be or live. Whoever or whatever treats you in that way is not your friend. 33. No action in life serves as preparation for a greater or finer or more expansive abiding self and life. For even if you don't realize it, you are always prepared, though you may not be skilled. Do not confuse being prepared with being skilled. 34. Your illuminated world is eternal, without restrictions or limitations. Ooh, goosebumps. Yet the freedom of this seems too threatening and unnerving to you. Why do you suppose that is? Do you always feel secure within do you only feel secure within strict boundaries, so you can rail against them? Is it possible that you hide and deny the expansive truth of yourself in an effort to comfort and secure yourself? What else might you be hiding or denying? 35. Since there is no preparation needed to live your eternal self in an illuminated world, no correct or improper way to believe and behave, and no desirable things to do or undesirable matters to avoid. Everything you do to be an aspirant on the right path will surely defeat you. 36. Be very cautious of truths imparted to you based on experiences, and be careful of your own truths based on experiences as well. For you and others only experience what you already believe, such that experiences, even if repeated again and again, cannot provide a truth. They will only present and affirm what you already believe and cannot be relied on. Your life today is an episode in eternity. 37. Profound awareness and realizations and understandings are not deep within you. In fact, they are not within you at all. So do not bother looking within yourself or to some profound depth or care.
Core.
Huh?
Core.
Oh, that's core? Oh. Or core or source of yourself. Look all around you and reach out and expand yourself and expand your awareness and realization to that world and even beyond. For in the land of abiding, there are no restrictions or limitations in your eternal illuminated world, only promise. 38. To realize the promise of your eternal abiding self, you need only stop where you are and stop living as you have come to believe you are, which is not what you want to believe and live. Anyway, for eternal illuminated awareness and realization of your imaginative mind is your very being and life. 39. If you get your mind out of the meaningless languaged concepts of oneness, infinite, eternal, superlative, immortal, and everlasting, and into eternal as recurring, you will observe eternal all around you. And what you see is imaginative, and that is illuminated awareness and realization. While many teachers claim they have discovered a longing in people for a sense of oneness and connection, we see a longing for a genuine awareness of eternal life and identity, of a vast self. For these teachers do not realize that most people already sense that they are far more expansive and creative and enduring than their short lives leave them experiencing and believing. And this is certainly true. 41. Are you willing to look closely and carefully at the beliefs you have blindly accepted and faithfully and unquestionably followed for many years? And do you long for an enhanced self and life of more expansive experiences and understandings? If so, can you adjust your beliefs and thoughts to understand that all things in the universe can be entangled and interconnected? Be careful of those words, these words. Such that things affect and are affected by other things without any sense or fact of oneness or interconnection occurring in this. For the multitude of the universe permits individuality and separation and actually encourages originality and distinctiveness of all things. 42. You can live your entire life without ever being aware of or realizing the distorted beliefs you have accepted, which severely limit and restrict you. Therefore, what you believe is true. No matter how many times you believe you have experienced and confirmed them, these beliefs are the ones you must immediately and profoundly question and stand up to and even denounce, so you can imaginatively mind yourself and life today to an eternal abiding self and liveliness before it is too late. 43. It is time to realize that you do not have a slow conscious mind, and an intuitive subconscious mind or spirited awareness. You actively think following the slow and limited underlying pattern of language or mind imaginatively beyond language. The real problem in this seems to be that you trust your language thinking, but don't trust your imaginative minding, and that's extremely unfortunate. 44. How brief and transient are your beliefs? Are there any beliefs you accept and follow, no matter what? Or are your beliefs just something to talk about? What do you truly believe about yourself and life? Do you know? And if you don't know what you truly believe, how do you guide your life, your feelings in the moment?
By feelings in the moment?
By feelings in the moment. Does that seem reasonable and reassuring? Are you really willing to continue surrendering your body and life to unknown languaged beliefs and feelings and unfounded memories? If not, what are you willing to do about that? 45. Unconscious patterns of thoughts and actions, even undesirable ones.
Keep going.
Do not repeat themselves. You repeat them. For you are never unaware of your thoughts and actions. So what do you suppose is occurring in this? What is the true conscious pattern of your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions? Do you know? That pattern is the true pattern of yourself and life, and that is the real context of yourself and life today. 46. You are created of eternal stuff, born into existence through mortal stuff. Therefore, in this, which are you? Eternal or mortal? Obviously, you are the communion of the two, and that is the true pattern and context of yourself and life today. And in this, though living yourself and life based through living... Though living yourself and life based on the whole of human existence may seem tremendous, this actually limits you almost entirely to language and languaged concepts and awareness, and deprives you of experiencing your eternal nature and liveliness and who you genuinely are. You and your life and liveliness are too important to be squandered in that way. 47. This is your eternal self and liveliness to live as you truly desire. So do not waste one moment of yourself on the total of human languaged existence. Awaken yourself beyond language and those distorted beliefs, for the habits and inertia of human thought, which through languaged memories tends to recreate old patterns and experiences and emotions, can, through imaginative minding and memory, and with even less exertion of mind, create wholly anew, offering you even greater empowerment and finer, more desirable experiences, awareness, and feelings. 48. Though a desirable state of passion and excitement or aroused feelings cannot be sustained for long, and soon deteriorates, enlivened contentment can be attained and sustained throughout your eternal self and liveliness. And not discontenting yourself is far greater and more fulfilling and rewarding than any aroused emotion. 49. Every aspect of your enlivened eternal self, as viewed and experienced through each belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word and action today, is a stepping stone to a life of awareness and contentment, lived in communion with true self-realization, which expands yourself far beyond your present beliefs and understandings. 50. each step we take along the way to your eternal abiding self and liveliness leads directly to you today. Therefore, as you can imagine, every step you take toward your eternal self is a step away from realizing your... Every step you take toward your eternal is a step away from realizing your enlivened eternal self. For actually, you already are the eternal abiding being you truthfully desire to become. 51. No matter what you are doing today, you are only searching for your eternal self. And all hurts, problems, difficulties, afflictions, and disappointments in life reflect the nature of your search. You are not seeking salvation and eternal life, or if you are, that is foolishness, for you already have eternal life. So what is it you feel you have truly lost in being unaware of your eternal self and liveliness? 53. As an eternal being in the mortal world, would you rather be known or
life. In a mortal life.
What did I say?
World.
Oh. Okay. Starting over. 53. As an eternal being in a mortal life, would you rather be known or unconditionally loved? Think very carefully about this before answering, for you have only one choice. Which do you feel would serve you best, being known or unconditionally loved? And which do you believe and would offer you a greater sense of yourself upon which to inspire a fine imaginative image of yourself and life to enliven and build upon? 54. Unconditional love sounds tremendous, doesn't it? But unconditional love is so...
Apodictic.
Okay.
What? You want to define apodictic?
Didn't I define it there?
No. Not sure what it is.
It's unquestioned and undemonstrable.
Oh, okay.
The following words.
Yeah.
He said three things. Unquestioned and what was the other?
Undemonstrable.
In other words, you can't know unconditional love.
Okay.
Can't know anything about it.
See, I didn't read forward. I was being a good girl.
Or anything about my word.
No.
But unconditional love is so apodictic that it is unquestioned and undemonstrable, while being known is fully demonstrable. Is that right?
Yep.
And knowing others as they truly are is the most intimate thing you can do or offer another.
So, would you rather be known or unconditionally loved?
Known.
Okay.
55. The greatest and finest vision you could ever have of yourself is but a faint shadow of your enlivened eternal self, but imagining expansively is a fine beginning for eternally knowing yourself. 56. Isn't it possible that the more you know of yourself, that knowing alone expands you? Being unconditionally loved does not expand you. 57. Have you ever considered that knowing is, in fact, far more or other than merely perceiving and being consciously aware of something or someone? That knowing actually expands what is known. This does not mean that knowing expands your knowing or the knowability of something, but actually expands what is known. 58. If this is true, and it seems to be true, then could it be that the highest ideal of life is not unconditional love, but is to consciously know and be known? And in that, to expand and be expanded? And doesn't that create and expand consciousness in the universe? But unconditional love does not require consciousness. And self-love, especially unconditional self-love, is frequently condemned as being tied with ego and self, like aggrandizement.
Aggrandizement.
Yet self-knowing is quite appreciated and encouraged. 59. Is it possible that you imagine yourself beyond unconditional love? What might it be that you imagine? And how is that imagining related to self-knowing? Do you know? Or is it? 60.
So, imagining is self-knowing.
Let's see here.
Imagining is self-knowing. Do I understand that correct?
Is imagining related to self-knowing?
Yeah.
See?
How is it?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Ready? I don't agree.
You don't agree, no?
Oh,
okay.
Through imagination, you can know yourself, but it isn't necessarily knowing yourself.
So it has a limiting fact. You can, but you don't have to.
You're just saying something that you can use to know yourself. Means that you do know yourself. That's not true.
That's true. You're right. You can know yourself through it, but it doesn't mean you will know yourself.
You can know yourself imagining?
But it doesn't mean that you will.
You can, but you doesn't mean you will.
So the two are not synonymous.
Yeah. Imagining is a tool.
It's just a tool.
Oh, I see. You can use the tool anything.
Yes.
You can use the tool in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. 60. If your knowing of self increases, does your knowing increase or does self increase? Well, obviously your knowing increases, but in that, and quite significantly, self increases. Therefore, knowing increases knowing and increases the object of the knowing as well. And if you consider this carefully, you will understand that this applies to everything, which is more important to you. Expanding yourself, which is more important to you? Expanding yourself or knowing, or your knowing, or both. I like both. 61. Are you beginning to see why we said that to know and be known is the highest ideal of life? And the greatest gift you can give yourself and others is the gift of intimately knowing yourself and them. Are you willing to endow yourself with truly knowing yourself and expand others by intimately knowing them? If so, then we need to discuss how you can know yourself without composing your knowing, for composed knowing will have little meaning and in the end will decompose from you. 62. Remember, knowing in the usual sense of recognizing or understanding what is actually lessens and contains what is known to what language allows. And we don't want to follow this process of lesser knowing. It's vital that we follow a completely different, uncomposed process of knowing as emergent, imaginative minding, which expands what is known. In the past, this knowing was unknowingly expressed as the more you know, the more you know you don't know. but this was interpreted to indicate the ever expansion of knowing, not the expansion of imaginative minding and what is known. 63. But now you know that the more you know, the more you expand what is known. Can you see that in knowing something or someone or even yourself, you do not extract data information? You actually add data information. With that in mind, knowing yourself begins by adding data information to yourself that you have never known or experienced before. Not by investigating yourself and your memories to add, not extract knowing about you. 64. Actually, the only way you can possibly know yourself is to begin by imagining what you are not. And the greater and more expansive the image is, the better it will be. Do not seek to rise above or overcome who and what you believe you are today, for this is not expanding yourself, it is overcoming. And you don't want to start overcoming yourself. 65. As we continue this journey to knowing your enlivened eternal self, do you imagine and visualize to know yourself? Imaginative and visualize.
Imagine, visualize
to expand yourself and those around you. And no matter what you may believe, the wholeness of yourself may be. Imagine yourself beyond that wholeness and all of life as well, and describe that imagination.
Pause for a second. Imagine and visualize yourself and those around you. I'm not sure I know how to imagine myself. I mean, imagine, like that's a verb.
What?
I'm not sure I know how, as we're reading this, I was thinking like, how would I imagine those around me? I'm not sure.
The same as you would when standing in the light outside of a tunnel.
Direct perception.
You're doing that to yourself, you can do it to others.
I got you. Thank you. All right. Direct perception, I forgot. Okay.
Okay, where was I?
Describe that imagination. Or describe
more
you want.
65. Yeah, we're in the middle of
it. And if you wonder why you didn't visualize.
Okay. And if you wonder why you didn't visualize or sense yourself in this way before, know that it is because no matter what you truly visualize, you were not that until you expanded yourself with your imaginative vision, which is actually a beholding. 66. It is said that your visions, like your dreams, are true while they last. The question is whether or not you are willing to make your imaginations real and lasting without composing them. Of course, you can compose language to describe your images, but if you want your images to be real and lasting, you must create a past for your imaginations or beholdings, which fully substantiates them. 67. Visualizing or composing this past is quite all right. Just so it substantiates the original beholding and makes it real for you to know and expand with. Do you see that substantiation? Do you see that substantiating and realizing your beholding does not create or compose it? Thus, the original beholding expands you and remains real and lasting. And you know yourself in this expanded self. Are you willing to live yourself in that way? And let others know you in that way? And know others in that way as well.
So do we want to take a little quick break?
Short midday stretch and stroll. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I already ate so much, I can't eat lunch.
That sore butts.
I have a 10-minute nap. We can have a 10-minute
nap.
That's
a good idea.
At least there is for me.
What are you gonna do?
Stretch my butt.
Where's Nico? Yeah, we were playing with the ball last night. I was like, step out.